Sometimes during Christmas, something magical happens.
Hey, Cricket customers. The Max with Ads plan is included with the Cricket $60 unlimited plan at no additional cost. And this holiday season, Max is the one to watch when you're feeling festive.
Son of a nutcracker!
Cozy up to all the holiday classics, like Elf, 8-Bit Christmas, and the Harry Potter 8 film collection. Just log in with your Cricket username and password to experience Max on all your favorite devices. Phone plan, streams, and standard definition programming subject to change. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you're thinking about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to Spotify.com/podcast to get started right now. Now time for a very sober edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass to your friends and which games to just maybe put that talking gun on silent because it just will never shut up. Because that's what, that, I don't know, this game talks a lot. I'm Corey. I'm joined by the man who, I was going to say who is high, but that just seems... That's a bold claim.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's bold, but it's not unheard of. So, I mean, like, it's almost noon in Boston, so I'm not high yet, but I probably will be.
This is Basher. He might be high soon. If you haven't been able to tell, we're here to talk about the game that is sweeping Game Pass, the highest performing day one Game Pass game in the history of history. High on life. But before that, did you know you're listening to this right now? This is the first episode that we are doing for 2023, and it's halfway through the month, so as you can tell, we're clearly on time, because we're always on time. That's clearly what we do. But you can write us and let us know how much you hate this game, love this game, as the guns are just talking to you and never shutting up. 574-651-9256. That's again 574-651-9256. Let's talk about the details of this game. I just closed them because that's what you should do, right? Published by Squanch Games. Release date of, nope, that's not what we want. From the co-creator of Rick and Morty and Solar Opposites comes High on Life.
Whoa, trigger warning. We spoke about this.
Fresh out of high school with no job and no ambition, you've got really nothing going for you until an alien cartel that wants to get high off humanity invades Earth. Now you and a team of charismatic talking guns must answer the hero's call and become the deadliest intergalactic bounty hunter the cosmos has ever seen. Travel to a variety of biomes and locations across the cosmos, go up against the nefarious Garmentuous and his gang of goons, collect loot, meet unique characters, and more in the latest comedy adventure from Justin Roiland. It's available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Main story is 9 hours with a completion rate of 17 hours if you want everything. Does have cross-compatibility. The Xbox Series X and S version run at 60 frames, whereas the Xbox One versions run at 30. Even if you're on the One X, you're going to be getting a much higher resolution, but you're still going to be capped at 30 frames. Does have cloud saves. I can confirm that. And it works pretty well. So sometimes I had issues with saves recently and like losing some progress, but I installed this one on PC just to check it out. Looks pretty nice on the Series X as well as PC. So where'd you play this game? Xbox, I'm assuming?
Yes.
All right, so we had a similar... That's where I played most of the game. High on Life. Let's talk about it.
Did you know Justin Roiland sold NFT and made $1.6 million.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I don't know. I am not a Rick and Morty person. I shouldn't say it's not that I'm against it or anything. I've just never seen it. But I do know, like, that name, he's very, like, I want to say hip, but he's very modern. He's plugged into a lot of things. So that wouldn't surprise me. But at the same time, I'm surprised that that hasn't come up more often than, considering NFT is like a dirty word. So,
yes, his style of comedy has really taken over pretty much media right now. I feel like that style of over-explaining the joke. It's funny when it's funny, and then it's also, I find it pretty inoffensive, and that's where High on Life comes in. It's very much Rick and Morty, the video game. Same voice actors, same art style, same comedy. It's just the video game version of it. It would be as if you were playing a video game version of one of their episodes where they teleport into some weird place or a spinoff of one of their funny commercials that's in the background. It's really comes down to if you like the humor or not, I feel like, because the gameplay wise, it's pretty there, you know. It's not crazy. It's not Doom Eternal, obviously, but it's also way more competent than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I went into this one sort of, what's the word I want to say? Like, I didn't really know what to expect, because the trailers for this game definitely made it feel almost like a parody of a first-person shooter. And games have done that before. There's stuff like Matt Hazard that, you know, are kind of self-aware and making their own jokes. But at the same time, it's, I enjoy, you know, I could be totally wrong in this, but, like, it gives me very, like, American Dad, Family Guy style of humor. And I enjoy those shows. I far more enjoy American Dad than I do Family Guy kind of thing. But like I said, I have no recollection or no history of Rick and Morty. So I don't think I've ever seen anything from this particular writer. So I wasn't sure what to expect, but, like, the first thing that I did not know this was a full price title when it came out. I thought for sure this was kind of a budget title. So when I first started playing, I was like, this actually looks pretty cool. Like, I was kind of immediately taken by the art style of it. The presentation is very strong, even though it starts off kind of B movie, you know, kind of, it's right away, it makes a double jump joke, you know, like it puts you in this very old looking video game, and it's like, all right, now hit the double jump. Well, we didn't have time to do a double jump. And then, you know, it got a decent little, all right, that's kind of funny kind of thing. But like you said, that humor's not going to hit the whole time. So that's where I was kind of like, I don't know if this is going to work, but let's hop in. But I kind of forgot about the humor and just started playing the game. And I was like, you know, this is cool. Like, I'm not, like you said, it's not Doom Eternal. Like, my brain isn't always engaged. And I definitely had to take breaks from this game because it doesn't have a ton of deep, you know, mechanics or anything. But I was immediately kind of struck by, I was like, this is a game. Like, this isn't just a game making fun of video games. They actually tried to make something here.
Oh, exactly. And that's when the game started to click for me, because when I first started, I thought it was going to be just that. Just Rick and Morty joke, the game, where they don't really put any effort into the actual game itself. But I was pleasantly surprised by that. It would definitely help if, again, I don't know how experienced they are with creating these type of games in general, but it would definitely go a long way if they up the enemy variant and then made it a reason to use, well, more of a reason to use your different weaponry, because the different weapons, when you upgrade them, they have pretty cool and funny side effects and stuff. So it would have been really nice to have a reason to switch between them all, as opposed to, all right, I'm out of ammo with this one, so let me switch to the next gun, or this gun got boring, let me switch to the next one. Like, it definitely needed more of a reason to switch weapons so you can hear more of the voice acting as well. That way, you get more enemy variants as well, because by the end of the game, you're really shooting the same thing over and over again.
Oops. No one heard that, so that's going to be fun to edit out. So that threw me off. Yeah, so to hop right into like the gameplay, obviously the humor and the storytelling is kind of at the forefront, and it starts kind of strong, but it very true to what you said of it's one note, and there really isn't much of a reason to switch guns other than you kind of find the one that you like, and every once in a while there, you know, maybe you want to switch to an enemy, and there's only like four or five different enemy types, kind of like your traditional, it's almost like a Doom layout. You've got the distance guys. You've got your up in your face guys, and each one you kind of have a gun to sort of take it on. And by the end of the game, you know, you have like your pistol, you've got a shotgun, you've got sort of a SMG / machine gun. And then what was the other one? Because there's like the one you can stop time. There's the shotgun, the pistol. What am I forgetting?
The blades.
That was with the shotgun, wasn't it?
That's a shotgun one.
Yeah, there's five weapons total.
Yeah, like their own like BFG at the end.
Yeah, what the heck was the fourth weapon?
It's the
like you shoot the little babies out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I didn't use that one too often.
Yeah, I didn't either. So and its special ability is it can sort of take over an enemy and they fight for you kind of thing. So it's like
The thing is, it was super fun to use though. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I just didn't use it often because it didn't kill things fast enough for me. But it is
more crowd
actually
control.
Effective.
Yeah, yeah, it was crowd control, which you don't need that often, but when it does come up, you do definitely need it. So, and each weapon has its own secondary ability, and they each have their own kind of reason for use. And it's well made in that aspect, but it kind of has the Doom problem of, like, if you really want to, like, I mainly just stuck to the pistol in this game. Like, whereas Doom, you can kind of stick to the shotgun. In this, you can kind of stick to the pistol because it's almost Halo pistol-like, and that it's so good that you can kind of snipe people with it. You can hit people close. You can hit people far. It's a little underpowered, I think, like compared to other games, but it still is extremely effective. But that's sort of, I don't say that's on it is on the game, but like that's my biggest criticism of it is that, like you said, it's, there's not always a reason to switch to the weapons. Sometimes there's instances where it really helps. Like there's all these flying enemies that can kind of create shields. And if you use the shotgun, its secondary ability is it has like a suction mechanic. And so like that was really good for taking care of that. Like, but you can do everything with the pistol. So it kind of walks that line in between. I'm not trying to just make Doom references here, but like Doom Eternal has it to where like you almost need to switch to those weapons because they have certain characteristics to take out certain enemies, and without it makes it really difficult. This is kind of the opposite. Like you can switch to it, but it's got that middle ground of you don't have to. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but
well, the good and bad thing to it, I guess, is for me anyway, is switching between weapons wasn't necessary gameplay wise, but humor wise I thought was nice to do. Like, I would switch between weapons just to hear the different voice actors. Well, the same two voice actors, I want to say, because they don't... I think Rick and Morty... Someone's going to correct me. One of these Rick and Morty stands are going to cut my head off for this, but I think it's only, like, two voice actors. And they make all the voices.
Right to me, but I'm not sure.
There was also... JB Smoove was in this game. So that was that was fun to hear. So switching between the weapons for me was really just more of, no, I think it's time to hear some JB Smoove today, you know, as opposed to I'm in a pinch, I need this certain weapon.
Yeah, that's fair. Like every once in a while I was the little like baby gun, like that thing made me uncomfortable. Like the way that it would be a little too excited to be you. Like, okay, so we've talked about the gameplay, but like the story of this game, and I don't mean like the story of the game, but like the reason to play this game for most people is going to be, is it actually funny? You know, is it, like with any style of comedy, it's not going to be for everybody, but if you enjoy the stuff that we've already said, then yeah, like you're probably going to have a good time with this game and you're going to find most of the jokes funny or at least tolerable, but every once in a while there will be one that you won't. But so what was your take? Like, did it ever wear on you? You know, did you ever want to turn off the game because like, I don't want to hear this right now?
See, I'm, when it comes to this style of humor, when it comes to Rick and Morty in general, I am, I don't like to call myself a big fan, but I really am. Like, I really will be excited for a new Rick and Morty episode. I like the Rick and Morty style of humor. I really dig it. But that said, I kind of shy away from saying that because in much of the same way, I don't call myself a gamer. It's more the fellow gamers out there that ruined the title for me. Rick and Morty, the worst thing about it for me is the audience. I think the saying goes, everybody thinks they're a Rick, but they're really the Morty. Like they're really just the dummy. And I would say this game does for me, as someone who likes the humor, it does a good job of always talking. Because you have the option in the menu to shut your guns up.
Right. Which that just seems like, that seems so, I understand why they gave that option, but it also, like, it, to me, it'd be like turning off the guns in Doom. It's just like,
that's part of the game.
Yeah, like that's a huge, you know, core fundamental, I won't say mechanic, because it's not really a mechanic, but that is 30% of this game, if not more.
You know, I mean, I think in instance of this game, it is a mechanic. If you take the humor out of this, you take the talking out of this, it's no longer, it's almost no longer fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it really is a core part of the game. And that being said, I think they do a pretty good job, in my opinion, of sticking to that core gameplay experience where your gun never kind of shuts up. You always have something to say. Sometimes it's super funny. Sometimes it's not. But again, I was never taken aback by it. I was never annoyed by it. If anything, when he didn't talk and I was walking through a level, I would miss it. And that's because of the game design, really. It's a slight against the game design because when you're walking through, again, I want to compare it to Doom a lot because it's the bar for shooter right now. When you're not shooting something in Doom, it still feels fun and engaging because of the atmosphere and the sound design, where in a soundtrack. Whereas in High on Life, if you remove the talking, although the game design visually it looks good, there's just not enough going on to keep you engaged. And then musically, it's just not, there's no bangers. So you need that talking to get you from point A to point B.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It is kind of the glue that holds the slower moments together. And if that didn't exist, this would be I don't want to say boring, because I mean, but yeah, boring is the right word. Like that's
no, it would be boring.
Yeah, but it's at the same time, like if you're not into this humor though, you're not gonna like it either. Like so, but it's kind of hard to it's sort of the opposite problem of everything you said of Doom. It's just like if you like the shooting in Doom, you can still have a good time. But here, if you like the shooting in this game, I don't know if there's enough here to keep you. Like you really do have to like the humor. In my opinion, at least. So it's kind of a weird ask in some ways. But I digress on that.
Yeah, you can up the difficulty and it will be more challenging of an experience, but not in the way where it's more engaging. It's just, to me, it felt as if enemies hit harder and they take more bullets. It wasn't they got smarter. It wasn't they did more things to make you move around more. It's really just they just kill you faster,
right?
And that's not ideal difficulty settings for me. I would definitely like to see more, again, enemy variety, all along with just smarter enemies as opposed to your as you pointed out, standard heavy ranged, and then the in between enemy variant. It definitely needed more out there experiences. And again, for a game that is made by this brainchild of people, if you will, I really expected by the end for more funny gameplay experiences as opposed to just funny line work. All the funny part, I mean, not all of them, but the majority of the funny parts are spoken, as opposed to, there should be more fun and more funny in the actual gameplay. All your guns do most of the talking in this game, when I feel like the enemies are very strangely quiet. They don't say too much too often. I was hoping for more of the enemies to say more of the things.
Yeah,
and I was hoping. Yeah,
I was expecting a lot of like the grunts from Halo, like
right,
and that's very true. That is definitely like, do they talk?
Very rarely. Okay, and you don't, and it's usually, I feel like, off screen, if you will. It wasn't like the grunts you were shooting currently. It was, you unlocked a new weapon or traversal mechanic, and now they're saying something on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah, that's right. And there are a lot of times you come up to to just NPCs that are not aggressive or anything. And those are probably the funniest moments for me. Like, oddly enough, like the world building is some of the funniest stuff. And it kind of makes me, like, in a weird way, I kind of wish this wasn't an FPS, and like, I'm not going to go too long on this, but it's like, I feel like while I do enjoy it for being an FPS, I kind of feel like it was the wrong medium. Because I think the world here was actually pretty fun to explore. That being said, the funniest moments for me were not during the encounters, like what you said. It's, you know, hindsight's 2020. This is like, yeah, that's actually a really good point. I don't know if I ever thought about that. The enemies are oddly quiet, and the bosses never shut up though. The bosses,
right,
are kind of the antithesis of the gameplay of. It's, I don't know how I feel about the bosses. I don't know if I liked them or I disliked them. And that's kind of weird for me, but.
Yeah, it kind of ebbs and flows. I think the only really good mechanically boss fight for me was the one where you chase down the three enemies that look alike. And it turns out they're three different ones and they combine. That was probably the best one for me, whereas the other ones were very standard. The very first boss fight was, that gave me a quick laugh out loud moment, because you kill the first iteration of it, I guess. The new queen, if you will, appears. You can kill her too for a secret boss fight kill, and it's really just one quick stab. And I thought that was funny. A way to turn it on its head. And that's what I wanted more of. More of the actual gameplay to, as you pointed out earlier, to parody the gameplay of an FPS experience. There just wasn't enough of that. There was a whole lot of funny dialogue, but just not enough of actual funny gameplay experience. And in the funniest moments, again, as you pointed out, was interacting with NPCs. One of my favorite moments was when, because there's a bunch of chess, every game needs a collectible. So in this game is chess, and the chess seem to be creatures. There's a, what do you call it? A warp drive or a warp beacon or something?
Crystal things.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you spawn a group of chess that you can break open and cut open and loot. This particular one, there was a family of chests and they were actually talking. And then as you murder them to get the loot from them, like, they were just saying all the Rick and Morty things. And it was actually kind of hilarious. It needed more of those moments. I think each chest should have been talkative at that point. Every other enemy should have said something about the murdering that you're doing. But it was strangely quiet when it wasn't a gun or an NPC.
Yeah, that's a tough line to walk, because without saying like the final product of like, you know, what if they would have leaned into that more? Is it too much kind of thing? But it's
exactly
the moment-to-moment gameplay of kind of the areas that you go to. You get different abilities and you can go back and get more of those chests and get more of those collectibles and stuff. And I don't, it's tough because I think that stuff actually is okay. Like it's not the reason to play the game, but I never hated it. I never really got upset with like the grappling hook. I never really, it was fine. I had zero, like once the game was ended, I was like, I'm good. Like I really don't need to go back. I don't need to go play any of that more stuff, but I also wouldn't fault anybody for it, you know, kind of thing. Like no one's going to go back and play Doom Eternal, but like, I want to go back and play the jumping puzzles. Like nobody wants to do that. But if someone's like, yeah, I want to go back and get all, you know, find all the chests, I'd be like, yeah, like I could see that. But at the same time, it's not like a Mario 64 where it's like, dude, go back and get all the stars, because that's half the game. Like you're literally missing half of the game if you don't get everything. This I don't think falls into that. So it's not quite like a jack of all trades and master of none kind of thing. I wouldn't say it's that, but it's weird. Like this game had to have gone through many iterations, and I would love to see what some of the earlier ideas were, because I wonder when all that stuff came into the mix, and or was it always there, or was it not always there? Did they decide to add it later because they're like, look, we can't just have a game where you're just kind of parroting your way through an FPS. And so it's an interesting game. Some of the reviews, like, you know, I tend to not read reviews until I finished the game. This is one, unfortunately, I didn't. And some of the reviews gave this like 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10. And I'm like, I don't, like, reviews aren't everything and scores aren't everything, but like that just seems diluted. I'm very confused by some of the hate for this game, like the vitriol for this game. I do not understand it whatsoever.
I think this is one of the times it makes perfect sense to me, because this game relies entirely on its humor. This is Rick and Morty the video game, and people, and like I said before, I don't call my, I'm a big Rick and Morty fan, but I won't say that in public, because the worst part about Rick and Morty are its fans, is the fan base, the weirdos. And people online either love or hate Rick and Morty, and it's because of that. They don't like the humor, and that's emphasized by the fan base. So I can see a lot of people going into this game realizing it's just Rick and Morty and being like, I hate Rick and Morty, so I hate this game. It will be as simple as that for a lot of people, I imagine.
But that's just so dishonest to me, because it's like, look, I hated The Last of Us 2 from a story perspective. Hated it. Like, that's not a hot take. Like, that game is very much debated, but I can't sit there and call that game a 3.
Like, exactly.
Like, you know, like, because I still had fun with the gameplay. Like, I basically played Last of Us Part 2 because they have a lot of customizable difficulty options. So almost like a Resident Evil game. You know, like, I turned up a little bit of the drops, and I turned down their ability to see me. And I was like, I was just kind of like a killing machine. But I was still playing stealth, you know, like it was like a Splinter Cell or Resident, you know, something like that. And that's cool. That was really fun. I had a lot of fun with that. I think I could have a real genuine discussion on why I hate the story, but I still can't look at that game and be like, oh, this game's terrible. Like, that just is so dishonest to me.
I completely agree. Yeah. But and on the other end of that is the people giving it 9s and 10s.
Yeah.
I saw those too. And again, same thing. They love Rick and Morty. It's hilarious. And this is Rick and Morty the game. So why not give it an 8, 9, 10? I don't think it's as high as that. I don't think it's definitely not as low as 2.
No, the weirdest thing about this game to me is like, this is a B game. Like
it's a perfect B game.
Right. Which is totally fine. I will say the presentation to me is still the most surprising, because it's a sharp looking game. Like it has an art style, and it's got a presentation that is really, really good. And I was surprised by that. That being said, like, it's weird. It's very weird to me. But so let's wrap up. I mean, I can't really point my finger at one thing about this and be like, this is bad. And that's it. But it's a lot of things that, like you have already said, of there's some things that might rub you the wrong way, or there's certain things that might just completely turn you off from it. And that's okay, though. This isn't a situation where I can look at it and say, this is bad, therefore you shouldn't play it for this reason. So for that, I think you should play it. Obviously, we're coming a little late to this one. You've probably already played this, or not. but yeah, I think this is a pass for me. pass it on for me.
I disagree. I think no one's played this game until we dropped this episode. So
yeah, you're right. You're right. Because we are the harbinger of of Game Pass knowledge.
I think this is one of the easier passing on to your friends for me, easily. It is competent. It is not long. And it's, for me, at times, it's super funny. Play it. Actually, you don't even need to play through the entire game for me. Just get to the alien world, the alien city hub, and find a TV and just listen to the commercials. that's good enough for me. Like, the commercials are still Rick and Morty quality, just nonsense.
Yeah, and I will say I enjoyed like the final super weapon. I won't say much more than that. I mean, there's like a weapon that you get at the very end of the game, and it's dumb. Like, but he just says one thing over and over, and I just
it worked for some odd reason.
Every time he said it, I was like, all right, let's go. it is real dumb, but
he was super great because he will let you know when he's done reloading.
Right.
So you put him away. He's like, oh, he's good to go now. Let's go. I do have a question for you before we end this discussion. What gun did you sacrifice at the end?
You have a choice?
Oh yeah.
I didn't have a choice. I didn't.
What do you mean? You sure did have a choice.
I didn't.
Okay. All right. So for those of you who have not played through this game or whatnot, if you, with no spoilers, switch your weapon when it gives you the option.
So I actually, weirdly enough, I guess like one thing I can say that, even though we've already talked about it, like, this game got weirdly glitchy for me in like the last 2 hours. Did that happen for you?
I can't. Honestly, since you brought it up, the only real issue I came up with in terms of glitching was this is part of the game design of having a sandboxy type of game. Getting to areas you're not supposed to get to and then having checkpoints being almost too good, because now you're stuck in that was the only thing. I was stuck in situations where I'm like, I can't get past this now. I have to reload a previous save. But other than that, like, no real glitches.
No, yeah. For me, like, I had no problems with it at all. And maybe it's because I was using quick resume or something. Like, maybe it messed with it. But the last, like, 2 hours of this game, especially the last boss fight, like, I had sequence breaks. And so that last cutscene played out in an extremely weird way for me. I won't spoil it because it's really not necessary. But the reason I say that, because on that topic, like, because the game messed up, my final cutscene played out to where only the other guns were talking and the main gun was not. And then I also ended up sacrificing two guns on accident. Like, and so the last cutscene, of instead of me holding a gun, it was just my hand out, and it was kind of weird. I didn't think about switching anything. I'm dumb. But maybe it was just because of that whole thing that was going on with my game. I'm not sure, but yeah. All right, that's gonna do this episode of Game Pass or Pass High on Life. Pass it on, play it, have some fun. It's funny. Have a good time. If you don't like it, that's okay. In terms of the future of this show, we're going to be doing a dual episode on, I played the final season of The Walking Dead, and you played, what's the name of the game? I always forget.
Chained Echoes.
Chained Echoes. That one is hitting the waves and people are liking that one. So we're going to talk about that as well. And then we've also been playing some Serious Sam 3 we're going to talk about. So those are going to be our January games. And then when February rolls around, we'll have some new sets. But all right, that's going to do this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with a dual episode.
Good day, sir.
Sometimes during Christmas, something magical happens.
Hey, Cricket customers. The Max with Ads plan is included with the Cricket $60 unlimited plan at no additional cost. And this holiday season, Max is the one to watch when you're feeling festive.
Son of a nutcracker!
Cozy up to all the holiday classics, like Elf, 8-Bit Christmas, and the Harry Potter 8 film collection. Just log in with your Cricket username and password to experience Max on all your favorite devices. Phone plans, streams, and standard definition programming subject to change. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Sometimes during Christmas, something magical happens.
Hey, Cricket customers. The Max with Ads plan is included with the Cricket $60 unlimited plan at no additional cost. And this holiday season, Max is the one to watch when you're feeling festive.
Son of a nutcracker!
Cozy up to all the holiday classics, like Elf, 8-Bit Christmas, and the Harry Potter 8 film collection. Just log in with your Cricket username and password to experience Max on all your favorite devices. Phone plan streams and standard definition programming subject to change. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.